in Class 3A. Oh, it's been one of those nights. Hello, everybody. It's Aaron Garrett Goodwin here, Sideline to Sideline, the L4F4 Clothing 3A edition right here on the LSG Sports Network. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we do not even know how we're sounding tonight. We're having some major technical issues. Granted, said it in between while we're getting ready that this, we usually have one night a year where this happens, but we've never had what we're happening now. We don't even know like how well we'll sound through this. The board's just doing really, really weird things. And so if there's moments where you can barely hear us or it sounds like we're jarbled, it's, we know. We don't need 100 emails telling us. We know, and we apologize. We
hope. You can send us 100 emails.
Yeah, you can send us 100
emails. And I'll read and respond to everyone.
To Grant and Terry at LoneStarGridiron.com. But yeah, it's just been a weird night, and like we can't even do our music that we normally do. I'm going to have to do that after the show and put them in. I've got coaches' shows tomorrow, and the cable or the channel that we normally use for that, for some reason tonight, for the first time in, what, 2 years? We've had this board for 3 years now. We've never had a board issue before. So I don't know what's going on, but we'll try to figure it out, and we're going to have a show, and we're going to be talking some 3A football. I want to thank our title sponsor, L4FR Clothing. You can find them online at L4FRClothing.com right now. After you get everything you need, your fire-resistant jeans, your fire-resistant pullovers, your safety goggles, your safety gloves, whatever you need, you put it in that check or your cart and you go to check out. You put in the discount code SIDELINE. You get 20% off your total order. I want to thank Brett for doing that for SIDELINE. SIDELINE, that's from now, what's actually started last week, through the playoffs. So for basically, and with all the shipping issues that's having for Christmas, and you're hearing about how, you know, people are saying, hey, just be prepared, you're not going to have many Christmas gifts actually on under the tree. L4FR Clothing, they have everything in stock. They will take care of you. So if you have somebody that works in the fire, you know, in an oil and gas or anywhere where you feel that, you know, you want your clothes not to catch on fire, as Coach X would say, check out L4FR Clothing.
Anywhere, really.
Yeah, just anywhere. In fact, you know what? That should be a new thing going forward. We just all wear fire-resistant clothing. Because, hey, at any point, a fireball could be coming from the sky. The world might get completely dismantled.
A spark.
But you'll be sitting there floating in space, fire-resistant, going, I'm safe.
I don't think
that's
how that works.
Yeah, that sounds like
I mean, I think Brett Lee's product works great. But I'm just saying.
You're saying he couldn't go hurtling through the atmosphere?
An asteroid. Blowing you off the face of the earth. So if you're above the atmosphere floating into space, I think fire is the least thing you need to worry about.
You're telling me, but we can't put on our show that he guarantees safety from all asteroids.
I'm an astrophysicist.
Oh God, that was bad.
I did a lot of college research on that.
Just to say astrophysicist?
Ass.
Yeah.
Grow.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
We also want to thank Fat Cow Jerky for some utterly perfect jerky. Check out fatcowjerky.com.
All right. Back to my college days. Fat cows. I am an expert in that as well.
I do want to say because we're...
Hey, Gina.
I do want to say because we're running late, let's just say, okay. Grant's... This is the first show, but Grant's in second show mode already. It's been that long of a night.
Thanks, technology.
Check out fatcowjerky.com right now. Free shipping for purchases. Over $100, and it's... You say, wow, $100 in jerky? That's easy to do. Not because it's expensive. In fact, Fat Cow Jerky's pretty darn affordable. It's because all the flavors are amazing. You got Reaper, you got maple breakfast jerky, you got mango habanero, you got pickled flavor, and pickled flavor is actually kind of good. You got honey habanero, you got black pepper garlic, and then you have what we love, the newest one, Carolina Q. And they're also going to have a Thanksgiving themed jerky coming out. We don't know if it's going to be turkey jerky or pork jerky, but we'll find out. Again, check out fatcowjerky.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to review week 10 right here on Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing on the LSG Sports Network. In today's COVID world, we all talk about disinfecting and being clean. And boy, do I have a company that is the best at that. Xanigo. X-A-N-I-G-O. Real simple. Xanigo. They are a disinfecting sprayer, system, and processor that is a game changer. Their goal is to create the safest environment for humans to live, learn, and, of course, be entertained. They strive relentlessly to create highly effective, affordable, and accessible disinfectant solutions that allow companies, high schools, colleges, wherever people gather in mass, Xanago is the company that you want to use to disinfect, to spray, to clean, as they are the pathogen prevention innovative company. Again, Xanago, X-A-N-I-G-O. And don't just take my word for it. Listen to some of the schools that use the Xanago spraying system to keep their locker rooms clean and free of not only COVID, but hey, you remember Staff and Mercer? Remember how a few years ago how big that was? It hit the NFL, went right through the NFL. Players lost game times. Some players lost limbs and lost their way of life because a simple thing of keeping the locker rooms clean were not being done by companies that paid these players millions of dollars. So what do you think high schools, do you think coaches are remembering all that? Because these coaches are. And by the way, these coaches not only win on the field, but they're winning in the locker room. Schools like Highland Park, Duncanville, Arlington Martin, Sunnyvale, Redwater, Stephenville. Hey, Stephenville just had a huge win this past week over La Vega, and now Stephenville's looking like a top four team. Part of the reason why they keep their locker room clean. I know that sounds crazy, but it's that simple. Also, check out these universities: UNT, Ole Miss, Tarleton, University of Texas, SMU, Navarro, and so much more use the Xanago spray system to keep their locker rooms clean and free of MRSA, staff, COVID, flu, ringworm, and so much more. You can give them a call, 214-460-4401. You can find them on Twitter at Xanago Sprayer or at Brandon Xanago, and you can find them online at Xanago.com. Terry Bennett, Grant Goodwin back here, sideline to sideline. Brought to you by L4FR Clothing, the 3A edition. Again, if we're having some technical issues, we do know it's just something weird going on right now with the board. Going to try to get that fixed. By the way, coaches shows that are done tomorrow will probably end up done Thursday the way this is going, unless something, and again, with technology, sometimes literally you can just unplug everything for the night, wake up the next morning, and everything's working again. But I have a backup board. It's over at Intern Noe's for our NFL show. So anyway, just be looking on the website for the schedule. All right, let's try to get normal now. Let's talk a little Class 3A, Week 10. Where do you want to start?
Let's start up at the elephant in the room, right?
Biggest.
54, Canadian 35.
Legitimately, to me, this is one of the biggest regular season upsets since we've been in district, since we've been doing the show. And it's not just that they won, it's how bad they won.
Yeah, look at what Tulia's quarterback did. Trayvon Maskelyne went 13 of 24 for 378 yards passing and 5 touchdowns against that Canadian defense.
And, you know, Spearman did this to Canadian and jumped out really big, and Canadian was able to...
But not to the tune of a quarterback throwing for almost 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, though.
No, but, I mean, they jumped out, like, score-wise, I mean, point-wise, they jumped out to a pretty big lead, and Canadian was able to reel them in. It looked like there for a minute Canadian might be able to do that in this game, but to give Tulia credit, man, they've never let off the gas. They never... And 9 times out of 10... When you get a team that pulls off an upset or almost upset where they're up big and then they end up getting beat, they normally turtle. They get a little too safe. They get a little too conservative. The Hornets didn't do that. And, again, this is just – it's on a scale that I don't even know how to say, because I can't remember the last time in regular season a top team, and yes, Canadians down a little bit, but a top team.
Well, obviously they're down a lot right now.
I mean, again, is it a lot, or is it everybody in 3A, everybody in their district 3A is just really good this year? I mean, you look at it.
Okay, but let's talk about Bushland. That wasn't district.
Good point. And that happened last year with Iowa Park, but we all just shook it off.
Well, but because Iowa Park was Iowa Park, yes. They were big and they were deep. You know, I mean, they had a lot of depth, so I understand Iowa Park upsetting them. And, I mean, last year, I mean, let's not forget that Canadian won a state championship.
Well, and also, again, last year, when they lost Iowa Park, it was almost like Canadian hurt themselves because they ran so many plays in that first half, and they wore down. This, it's obvious they have some defensive deficiencies.
Yeah. And that's the key right there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can't ever remember a time. And again, though, I do still also think this tells you how good this district is this year. I can't ever remember a time where they've given up 37, 27, and 54 in three district games. Even 27 is a lot for them in a district game.
This is Canadian's first district loss since 2012.
That's, you know, we talk about Allen and their home, you know, their home winning streak. That's literally the same amount of time.
Yeah.
And just crazy. Now,
and Tulia's 6-3 now, I believe.
Yes.
You know, they've got 3 losses, but I went back, building the run sheet on Saturday, and I started looking. Their losses aren't that bad, and they've got a couple of really good wins.
Now, their losses are to Muleshoe by 4, 35-31. Friona, 62-42. And then Childress, 56-21. But you look at where Childress and Friona is, but it also does go back to, wow, that's how shocking this is. And we were joking about this in the pre-show. You've got Canadian now with, if certain things happen this week, and I think there's a good chance they do happen, you've got Canadian as the fourth place team. The other districts, like, all we got to do, this is what you hear all summer. Okay, boys, all we got to do is we don't have to worry about Canadian. We need to make sure we don't beat Canadian. Let's win district. We won't have to play Canadian. You win district. Hey, guess who you got? You got Canadian. Because Canadian is still a team that's going to be.
They're going to come in pissed off. They're going to figure that, you know, that look, that defensive, that secondary, is at some point, it's going to figure it out. They're young.
Or Canadian might go like they did back in the early 2000s a few times and be like, screw it, we're going to outscore you if we have to. Yep. And they have the offense that if they get consistent, if they can cut out some turnovers, you know, Canadian can – I don't think their story's written yet. I think this is a bump, and I do think that they're, like you said, a step or two down from last year, but that doesn't mean they can't get on the roll in the playoffs.
All right, how about Mount Vernon, 37, Pottsboro, 14. Mount Vernon's Mackenzie McGill runs for 291 yards, 3 touchdowns on 30 carries.
Yeah, you know, we had one.
McGill is special.
Yes. You mean Mount Vernon?
No, I said McGill.
Oh, McGill. I thought you said Mineola.
No, McGill.
Sorry, this is one of those nights. You know, you and I talked last week on here and on KTR. Pottsboro had a 5-game winning streak. It looked good. They went 0-2, and then they had gotten back. And I saw some other media saying that Pottsboro's back. No, they're not.
Based on the schedule they played, sure. Yes. It'll make you look like you're back.
That schedule made Commerce look like
Kansas
a player.
City playing the Giants. Oh, we're a little bit better now. We got some things ironed out, but we won. You know, that's kind of the same thing, right?
Exactly. And that same schedule made Commerce playing for a playoff spot last week. Mm-hmm. And you and I talking up about Commerce to know Commerce is not a good team. And Pottsboro is an okay team. I'm not going to say they're a bad team, but I don't really see them making much noise in the playoffs this year.
I don't either, but I do see Mount Vernon making tons of noise, right?
Speaking of the district that they'll be playing, Tatum, they took care of White Oak last week, 35-14. Kendrick Malone ran for 2 touchdowns, threw for a couple touchdowns. This game's just of note, simply because Tatum did struggle with Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of interesting. And so you wanted to kind of see what they would do against the White Oak team that, you know, is kind of like Atlanta. They're not great, but they're not bad. And if put them in a lot of other districts, they might make the fourth place spot. And I think this was a really good making sure Tatum is going to be consistent type of win right here.
Exactly. We haven't gotten a chance to talk a lot of Tatum lately, right? And their district mate, Gladewater, beating Sabine 35-6. You know, Gladewater ended Sabine's 5-game winning streak, and they extended their own winning streak to 6 now. You know, and Gladewater just pounded that Sabine defense with the run all night long.
Hey, you and I both thought Gladewater would win. You and I both thought they might win by a couple scores, but we thought Sabine would at least score on them. Sabine, I can't think of his name, has that quarterback that's just putting up, like, holy crap numbers. Mm-hmm. And Gladewater, it almost feels like that loss early in the year was the Gladewater was fine with that.
Just the Kilgore loss?
Well, yeah, the Kilgore loss being the really, really bad one. But it also, I think it did. I think it kind of put them where everybody goes, okay, y'all forget about us. We're just going to go do our thing over here. And they have rolled through a district, as we've talked about, a pretty competitive district here in 3A.
Well, and they played one hellacious non-district schedule as well.
But the biggest thing is this year they're not going to get Mount Vernon in a weird – high, you know, because remember, Mount Vernon was a district champ last year, but they were also the fourth place team because of the way the tiebreakers went. Losing to Gilmer 42-14, losing to Kilgore 54-0. I always felt, and you said it best, the very next week to come out and then turn around, you get just your brains beaten by Kilgore, and you open district against the probably second best team in the district, and you pull out that win, that tells you a lot of the metal and the bounce back that this Gladewater team has. And I don't think they had that last year at times. Like we saw in that Mount Vernon game, they got down early and they could never dig out of that hole. I don't necessarily feel that this Gladewater team will get in the hole and just be in that hole the rest of the game.
No, I think Gladewater and Tatum are both a force to be reckoned with in the region. How about West? Talk about a force to be reckoned with. West beats Grandview 28-20. basically for the district championship, right? This game was back and forth all the way until around midway through the fourth quarter. Zane Menon, the quarterback, had a huge night. He ran for 128 yards on 21 keepers and threw for 95 yards. Wes is now 9-0, 5-0 in district.
You thought Grandview was going to win this game. I thought Wes was going to win this game.
Yeah, I did call, you know, look, we had West ranked above Grandview, but I was calling a little bit for the upset. Mm-hmm. Payson English for Grandview is a huge X factor. And he had, you know, he made his hay in this game, but that West defense proves to be a little bit tougher than what people think.
Yeah, and that's the thing I was going to say. I kind of thought if West was going to win, it would be like a 42-40, you know. Mm-hmm. For them to, I think it was three drives in that fourth quarter, lock Grandview down when Grandview had a chance to go in for the tie, that's impressive to me. That's playoff impressive right there. You're going to
– West is just a tough, gritty football team.
Exactly.
You know?
And you said it best earlier in the year. You said they remind you of what Troy was a couple mm-hmm. years ago. They're not going to go out there and do anything really impressive. They're not going to wow you, but they're going to wear you down. And when was it last time we were at West? That 4 years ago when we ate at the restaurant? That West team was the same
when
way.
When we ate at the restaurant.
In West.
We eat at a restaurant every time.
You
we
know,
go
though, here. When it's in West, we ate at
downtown.
See?
Okay, I'm just calling you out. We eat at restaurants. You know, when we ate at that restaurant.
But you know exactly what restaurant I
did.
Okay, that's okay. Not the fault. But anyway,
West has Wyatt Wolf now, right?
Yes.
And who is a big-time X-factor, a playmaker. Not only is he quick, but he's physical. He's good size. And you got Zane Menon. I mean, and that West defense, you've got so many playmakers on the offensive side of the ball playing in front of a very gritty, tough defense.
Yeah, and I just think this was like playoffs 1.2 or something for them. This was like a playoff game, and I think West, and I think Grandview still has to feel good about themselves,
oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think West definitely has to feel good about themselves going into the playoffs. Speaking of feeling good about yourself, boy, that Columbus-Hallettsville matchup.
Boy, does Columbus just keep impressing.
You know, the most impressive thing of this 14-13 win is that they outscored Yoakum 35-28. And we both felt, okay, if Columbus can outscore a lot of teams, but what about with their defense when it matters? Now, Hallettsville, of course, their starting quarterback, Jeremy did say he did play, but he didn't start the game. But still, to jump out 14-0 at half and then to have to battle and keep Hallettsville from that last point, and it was a point. They scored a touchdown and blocked the extra point with a few minutes left. I don't know. I think this was almost more impressive than if they'd have beat Hallettsville 45-35.
Well, you know, look, the defense, the Columbus defense did give up like 185 yards rushing to Price Pruitt from Hallettsville. You know, that's a little concerning, but not, I mean, who outside of Pruitt really made hay, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the Columbus quarterback, man, Adam Schoble, again, 11 of 16 for 142 yards passing. The running back, J.J. Hurd, 96 yards rushing. It's just all-around good win for Columbus. And the fact that they're able to – did you say that extra point was blocked or just missed?
Blocked.
Wow.
I think it was blocked. I think Jeremy said it was blocked. I do want to say this, though. Columbus does have an issue that they've got to figure out where they're going into halftimes with leads and they're losing them. Or they're doing a lot of great things offensively in the first half, and they're not seeming to be able to – either the adjustments aren't catching or they're just not, you know,
executing. Winning the second
half. They're not winning the second half. And, boy, you and I – and everybody knows, but – how many times in the playoffs will we see a 21-0 game turn into a 42-28 win by the team that was trailing?
Living dangerously, too, because what if you get a, you know, the playoffs are the worst, getting a couple of calls against you.
Oh, good point,
and
yes.
You cannot play fast and loose and iffy on the defensive side of the ball and just give up the second half because goofy calls happen in the playoffs. I don't care who it is. And some of the best teams, hell, look at Gilmer several years ago, quite a few years ago, against Liberty Isle. Liberty Isle.
2007, yeah.
Upset the number one.
Or 2006.
2006.
Yes.
Number one team in the state, Gilmer. And, you know, no knock to LE. They were, you know, playing their way into the game. But there were a couple of calls that went against Gilmer. You don't want to be that team that lets the other team hang in
yep.
in the playoffs within a possession, and then a couple of calls go against you, and then you're done.
You know, for people wanting comparison, that Gilmer team was being called maybe the greatest 3A team. And
they almost were.
And for all the talk we have of Carthage now in 4A, that was what Gilmer was that year.
Right.
And like you said, LE. And by the way, LE did win state that year, so it wasn't like it was a complete fluke. All right, let's talk about the game that we had talked about going to, but we'd kind of not been to a couple 4A games in a while, so we ended up doing that. But Edna takes care of Vanderbilt Industrial. By the way, this is Edna's last game of the year. Mm-hmm. They win 26-16.
Well, I mean, the playoffs.
Well, I mean, regular season, yeah, sorry. They don't have a game this week. So they had that perfect where you kind of get that playoff atmosphere game, and then you get to kind of take a week off and get rested.
What a doozy this would have
yes.
been. I would have loved to have been at this game.
Yeah, I agree. Jaden Clay went 8-14. Not big on the completion percentage, but big on the yardage. 8 completions, 181 yards. Freshman Cade Rosa ran for 41 yards and 3 touchdowns, but on just 8 carries. So, yep. Again, Edna's offense, it wasn't necessarily efficient, but it was big play, big play, big play. That's all that defense needed is they're able to stymie a very good Vanderbilt Industrial Cobra offense. I'm not surprised Edna won.
Talk about Edna's defense.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they beat Vanderbilt Industrial, but again, I go back to I'm surprised they held the Cobras to 16 points.
Well, I mean, you go back and look at it, you know, Edna's defense has shown up all year.
Oh, no, I agree. I just thought that Industrial's offense was good enough
oh, yeah.
to at least put some points on the board.
Oh, well, Edna's or Industrial's offense, I thought, was good enough to at least put 28 points
yes.
on the board, and Edna's defense just said no way.
Now, the Cobras have been stymied a few times this year. They only scored 24 against Hallettsville. And then they had that weird game against Mathis to begin the district schedule, winning 17-14. But still, does this – I mean, for Edna, it confirms that we think Edna's pretty good. You and I have kind of had our doubts on the Cobras. Not that we don't think they're going to be good.
I think they rely on the quarterback
yeah,
quite a bit.
Exactly. And that's what they've done the last
that's
3 years.
That's a really good quarterback to rely on. But I think they do rely on him quite a bit.
Yeah, Matthew Davis is an absolute beast, but you're gonna when you get into the playoffs, I mean, unless you're Jonathan Brooks, you're gonna need some help on both sides of the ball, and so we're gonna have to kind of note that. Let's swing back up to East Texas to finish week 10 in the big old redneck battle. Wascom versus Elysian Fields. Wascom wins 42-12. If I'm right, that's now even that series up at 39 wins apiece. For both them and Elysian Fields. Hey, great game for Wascom, but I want to say, dude, Elysian Fields, does it just not seem like the last few years they always get hit by the injury bug at like the
yeah.
first time?
Sounds like it.
And this year it sounds like it's worse. Like at one point, almost all the skill guys were out, and that was easy pickings for Wascom. And Wascom would have probably won the game anyway. Cole Watson ran for 88 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also threw for 92, 4 for 5 for 1 touchdown. And then DJ Feaster ran for 152 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Wascom, you know, again, everybody kind of gets their attention looking elsewhere. And Wascom's one of those teams that's just kind of stayed. After that Timpson loss, they've stayed almost in the exact same spot in the rankings. And I think it's real easy to forget about them. But let's remember, you and I both have them winning their region in original picks, and I still think that that's very much in play.
Yeah, I do too. It could be, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do a little Week 11 preview and have Coach X talking his talk right here on Sideline to Sideline, brought to you by L4FR Clothing, the 3A edition on the LSG Sports Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Daly with Lone Star Gridiron. Did you know that Lone Star Gridiron is fast becoming the Netflix of Texas high school football? Yes, we have several Texas high school football documentaries on the site with more coming very soon. We're talking the Cuero Gobblers history, the Abilene Eagles history, the Brownwood Lions, and of course, Odessa Permian. To sign up for this premium access, simply go to LoneStarGridiron.com/signup and become part of the Netflix of Texas high school football.
Terry Bennett, Grant Goodwin back here. Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing. Right here on the LSG Sports Network. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at Grant and Terry. Like us on Facebook, Sideline to Sideline. Email us, Grant and Terry at LoneStarGridiron.com. And again, if there's some issues going on sound-wise, we know We hope to have it fixed by next week. It's just there's nothing we could do about it tonight because we didn't know the problem was going until we started. And we'd done a KETR segment, and then it started messing up. But anyway, we reviewed Week 10. Let's preview Week 11, the final week in the season. Now, also, the show is already planning on being shorter anyway because, remember, next week's the playoffs, and we pick every playoff game, so the first couple weeks of the playoff shows will be longer shows. So we usually kind of scale back week 11. And, man, I'm glad we did this week because we are really late into where normally we're almost through with our second show at this point, and we're right now halfway through the first one. But let's go ahead and start week 11, a game that we'll be at, Brock versus Pilot Point. What are your thoughts on this one? Because I have two trains of thoughts here, and I want to see what you think first, though.
Well, I think Pilot Point's up against it. Look, Pilot Point has some playmakers. Wyatt Smith, quarterback, thrown for, over 2,000 yards. Aiden Cox, 1,310 yards receiving. Ish Harris is an absolute beast, dangerous from anywhere on the field. He can take it to the house. But as Pilot Point played a defense like Brock, I mean, Brock's defense is only giving up just under 10 points a game. How many of those 10-point average is trash points? You could probably back that down to around 7 to 5, 5 to 7, somewhere around there,
that's
right?
A good point.
And, you know, Brock's, I mean, their offense, Cutter Wilson, running back Elijah Potts at receiver, Tyler Moody at quarterback. Man, has that not been the X factor? We knew that Cutter Wilson was going to be a beast. Elijah Potts was probably going to be somebody you had to keep an eye on. But Tyler Moody at quarterback, being able to sling the ball around with Cutter Wilson in the backfield, that makes them almost a defensive coordinator's nightmare.
Yeah, you know, look, this makes it sound like we're saying what Brock used to do was bad, and it obviously wasn't. But it's
worked well for them.
It's just that, and mainly it's just a year one thing where defenses don't know how to approach Brock right now.
Right.
You're going to look at, what are you going to do? Look at Weatherford tape where Coach Mathis coached? Okay, but you're not going to get any of the athletes that Brock has. Do you look at Brock tape? Okay, you'll get the athletes, but they're not running the spread last year, and Tyler Moody's not throwing it all over the field. And for me, what's been the most impressive thing for Moody is he's gotten better every week. You know, you were starting to wonder early. It felt like they were winning like they always did. Cutter Wilson had become Cash Jones, and he was running for 185 yards, and they were beating teams. But the last three, 4 weeks in that Whitesboro game where they needed a passing game, Tyler Moody showed himself pretty damn strong right there. And,
yeah.
I mean, I think it adds something that Brock hasn't had.
Well, Brock can work all areas of the field now.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they can go midline. They can go out outside the tackles in the running game. They can hit the flats, they can hit the sky, they can hit the cloud with the pass. And that's something that Brock hadn't really typically done.
Well,
now they can.
Go back and look at that Jim Ned game where Jim Ned was walking the safeties up. And it takes a special team like Jim Ned to be able to stop Brock, but you usually see a special team in the semifinals, in the region finals. And that's
Tyler Moody now makes your defense have to go too high.
Yeah.
Right?
And that changes a lot of things. It's going to be interesting. Now, for Pilot Point, look,
they got the playmakers to hang with anybody.
It's that line. If the offensive and defensive lines can play average, Pilot Point can beat a lot of teams. But against Brock, the only way I see Pilot Point winning is they've got to jump out early and they've got to hit some big plays. And it's going to be big plays where you've got a Brock defender hanging on the quarterback as he's throwing off his back foot on hoping you win some jump balls and stuff. I don't think this is going to be as bad as what Gunner did to Pilot Point.
No, I don't think Pilot Point's going to be shell shocked like Gunner
exactly.
did.
Exactly. Right? And Pilot Point had some injuries and they kind of folded the tent once the game was seen in the head and way.
Right.
And I do think Pilot Point is fired up for this game. So is Brock, of course. But I think Pilot Point feels this is a chance to kind of prove themselves after they've kind of been forgotten. You know,
I think this will be a big game atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. It always is. First off, Pilot Point.
I'm excited to be there.
Yes, me too. And we can't wait to see everybody. That, you know, it's funny. I've been doing a Brock show since like 2016, and this will be the first time non-playoffs that I'm actually going to see Brock live because we always, you know, we always end up going somewhere else. And also I want to say, speaking of Cutter Wilson, his dad's hooking us up with T-shirts. We do appreciate that. And also the Brock Booster Club. I appreciate the Brock Booster Club and the Brock community because they've allowed us to have a Brock coaches show for the last 5 years. So we can't wait to see them. We can't wait to see our Pilot Point friends. This is one of those few games that we get where both sides are keyed into our show. And so it's going to be real fun just kind of being there. It kind of reminds me, remember Stephenville Alvarado that time? The infamous driving back from Lufkin on a Thursday night game.
Lubbock.
I mean Lubbock.
Even worse.
On a Thursday night game, rolling in, the car's like smoking, and we smell like 2 days old of sweat and Denny's steak and alcohol. We went and saw Alvarado.
Same every week.
Oh, yeah. Let me give Coach X's diatribe, by the way. You know, I see, Coach, this is how you know I love you. I could easily say, hey, man, sorry, the technical difficulties knocked your segment out, but we're still doing it. You know, guys, my picks have been around the 650 mark this year, but when I get them right, I get them right. West, yep, that was me. Columbus over Yoakum and Hollidsville, yep, that was me too. Percentage is down a little, but doing this legwork for Coach X School of Adults that want to play high school football has proven to be an ordeal. The UIL has some rules against people over the age of 21 playing high school football. Thanks, Obama. So I've been in meetings with lawyers all week trying to allow 20 people 21 and up to be able to play high school football again. I'm getting Matty McConaughey to be the Lincoln lawyer and take my case. Trying to get him.
It's Jackie Childs.
Jackie Childs.
Yeah. Seinfeld?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, is he the one with the glasses?
I didn't say.
Yes. No, he doesn't need Lincoln lawyer Matt McConaughey. He needs the one about the where Samuel Jackson shoots the guys that assaulted his daughter. That's the one he needs.
Harry and the Hendersons?
That was actually pretty good. I'll give you credit on that one.
I thought anyway, it was Judge Harry. That's night court.
Trying to get him to bring Marissa Tomei along, too. Hello. Oh, on with the Brett Lee Fashion Power Hour.
Can we pause it for like
a few seconds?
30 seconds.
All right, let's see what he says about Brock and Pilot Point. Dude, I think Brock just scored again on Peaster. 80-7. 80. What is that? Those dudes scored more times in one game than Brett Lee does in Central America. Wow.
Wow, that's North America.
What? Gotta be like 100 TDs in one game. Oh, wait, I just heard a band start playing again. Yep, another TD. I haven't seen carnage like that since the Great Chipmunk Fire of 1986. That's
79. It was 79.
Okay, that's
in that movie? Yeah.
What movie?
I can't remember the movie. It was the great, it was Great Chipmunk Fire of 79, Coach X.
Still can't believe Terry told me that Brock is starting at 5-5 before the season started. Samsonite, you were way off. What the hell? All right, where to next?
All right, let's go Tatum and Sabine. Tatum is 8-1, 4-1 district. Tatum's only loss was to Gladewater, but like, 1 point.
29-28.
Tatum's quarterback, Kendrick Malone, has thrown for 1,830 yards. Their receiver, Kendall Williams, almost 1,000 yards receiving. Sabine has their own really good quarterback, but Tatum's defense, I think, is getting better and better. Played a pretty tough schedule, so that defense has been pressed. I don't think the Tatum defense is going to see anything out of Sabine that they hadn't seen before this year.
No, but Jace Burns is a guy that could make enough plays to keep Sabine in it. That's kind of what I thought would happen last week against Gladewater. I thought Gladewater would win comfortably, but I thought you'd see Burns, you know, get 24, 28 points, but they didn't. And I don't know if Tatum's defense is as good as Gladewater's. At times they've looked good, at times they haven't. I think Tatum wins this game, but I do think this week Jace Burns and the Cardinals do get 20.
I think it's within 14 points?
Yeah, I could see it being like a 42-28 type game.
That's kind of where I see it.
I realized I was.
I think Tatum is getting primed, though, for the playoffs.
Yeah, I do, too. I realized something this week. I was doing the DFW show by myself, and so I was trying to predict some scores in, like, Ennis and Roy City. And literally every pick I went with was like, oh, it's like a 42-21 game. And almost every game turned. That's just the standard score, it seems like, in high school football for the average game now. 42-21. All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Well, the rumors of Gladewater being down were kind of overstated. Don't believe me? Ask the Sabine Cardinals. Dude, can you believe that Brock just scored again? So you have the Eagles versus the Cardinals. This one is for the birds here. Ha, 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 ha. That was a good one. Hey, for real, have you ever seen an eagle in the wild? Those things are huge, man, like the size of your torso. Well, maybe not an adult torso, but that of like a teenager. I once saw an eagle pick up a wiener dog and dispose of it with extreme force one time. I also saw a hog try to eat Travis's leg when I was watching Old Yeller. Hey, maybe we need to rethink the movies for children. Dead dad, kid almost gets eaten by a hog, beloved dogs gets rabies and has to be shot. Not a great family there. Give me Tatum. I actually agree with him on all that.
I actually do, too.
It's a really good, that's a good thing, Coach X. Thank you. All right, let's swing back out west. We were talking about it earlier. Childress versus Canadian. You know, if Canadian loses, and I think there's a really good chance that happens, Canadian could fall to the fourth place spot in the playoffs. That'll be interesting, again, just to see Canadian coming out of that, what, first time since 2012, they wouldn't be coming out of the district champion. Now, if they win, they can still make a claim for the district champs. What is your thoughts on this one?
Look, I know we can talk about Childress and their quarterback, Colin Bishop. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But let's talk about the defenses. Look, Canadian's defense has just been average to below average. In big games, they've been below average.
Yeah, you're right.
They've been big time below average. Childress, on the other hand, their defense has only given up 142 points in 9 games. Not bad. They've outscored their opponents 469 to 142.
And the majority of those points were in 4 games.
Yeah.
The Friona game, which was a great game. The Thule game, which they scored 56, so I don't know how much of the Hornets 21 was a valid 21. 28 against a solid shallow water team in non-district.
Shallow water's really good down in 3A.
And we haven't we're in 3A, like they said.
I know.
We talked about them.
I watched the shallow water Abernathy game, and as good as Abernathy is, shallow water hung in there with them.
Shallow water's one of those teams, man. If they get a good path to the playoffs, don't be surprised if they're playing in a region semifinal.
For sure.
For this game, I think, in saying what I'm about to say, I think Childress has it this time. It would not shock me in any way, since the game is Canadian, that Childress goes in there and Canadians angry and the Wildcats have their best game of the year.
It's their time for their pound of flesh, right?
That's what the Bobcats think, yes.
It has to be, right? I mean, they have gone in and played Canadian so many times, and Canadian has been out on top. But the X factor here is Colin Bishop, the quarterback for Childress. I like to say that Colin Bishop is like the Tim Tebow of Region 1.
You're not far off, man. That's actually a really good comparison.
I mean, he's just that unstoppable force. When he's keeping the ball, when he is running the football, I don't know what your defense is going to do. You can be up in the perfect alignment. You can have the gap stopped. You can have your backer scraping, but he's going to get that 5, 6, 7 yards.
And he's also a pretty darn good safety / cornerback, too, on defense.
Oh, really good safety.
I just feel that this is Childress's year. And I also think – I still kind of think Canadian would be perfectly fine in that fourth spot, and I think could make some damage on that side of the bracket.
That Canadian defense is going to have to get better than giving up, 25, 26 points a game.
Exactly. All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Tulia, wow, who didn't see that coming? I mean, how many times we've talked about Tulia on the show? Counting the 3 times I just said their name, I think that makes the total 3. Wait a sec. Yep, Brock just scored again. Does Canadians still do that thing where they have all the Harley Davidsons cranked up as they walk out to the field? That changed my life seeing that. I was like, dude, so once you graduate from football at Canadian, do you become a Hell's Angel? What a future. Bobcats over the Wildcats and the Battle of the Jungle. Well, not really Jungle Cats. How about the Forest Cats? He's right about the intro. There's not many times in the years you and I have been to games that we both got the whole goosebumps and got the feeling of
twice. Twice.
Yes.
Canadian and Brownwood.
Yeah, exactly.
Only 2 places.
Yes. And I always thought Brownwood was the epic of you go out. That's the best entrance, and it's pretty good. But, dude, Canadian, especially when we were there for homecoming. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was special. All right, let's
And all those sheriff's departments trucks and SUVs just leading them down,
and then they turn around and then run all the license plates of the Harleys and
right
the rest of the people.
When we were there, we were like, oh, the sheriff's departments, all right, we probably should go.
Why are y'all leaving? Y'all stayed the night. No, we gotta be somewhere.
My plates are hot.
All right, let's finish up again. We said it's going to be a short show this week. Playoffs will be back. Let's finish up. Holiday versus Henrietta.
Mm-hmm. Holiday's 9-0, 4-0 in district. That defense has been incredible all year long. They only give up an average of about 10 points a game. Peyton Marchand, the quarterback, for Holiday. Austin Jones, a running back. Jazz Johnson, the running back. That, I mean, they, you know, they those big time players in the offense behind a really good defense. How do you stop that, right?
You know, mainly bringing this game up, it's just kind of a reminder of, we see you, Eagles. We know,
yeah,
we know exactly where you're at in your path, and I think we're going to see them play, you know, as they have, what, for the last 3 years, 14 games into the season.
I think this is the best Holiday team in a while, though.
I was honestly about to ask. Of the last
year, they could have been this team, but they had so many injuries, right?
Yes.
This year, they're healthy. They're motivated. That defense seems a lot better than they were last year.
Henrietta, the Bearcats, they're 7-2. I really thought 2 weeks ago, I thought they might challenge them, but then they got beat by Kalsberg, and Kalsberg's a really good team. First off, the top three in this district are really good teams. All three of these teams are going to be tough outs in the playoffs, but I really, really thought that if the Bearcats needed to beat the Wildcats to give me, to even make me think that they could play against Holiday.
Uh-huh.
I think it kind of feels a lot like that Brock Pilot point game, but a lower scoring game. I think Holiday wins like 21-7, 28-7, something like that.
I think sometimes Holiday scores on the low end offensively because their defense is so good, but I can see Holiday getting really primed and pumped for the playoffs because they do have they are good enough to get to the region final and then let everything go in the region final. I think Holiday might show out offensively.
Maybe.
Actually, I think they might put up 40-something points this time. That offense is that good, but their style of offense doesn't lend itself to get over 28, 35, 40 points, whatever a game. But I think this week, Holiday, against that Henrietta defense that's been average, I think, I think they put up 40 points, and they win big this week.
That wouldn't shock me. All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Holiday versus Henrietta. You know, I knew a girl named Henrietta once. She was a friend of my mom. One time she asked me if I've ever seen the movie The Graduate. 18-year-old Coach X, he was an innocent guy. Then he met one guy named Terry Grant.
Terry Grant.
Sideline to sideline listeners, Terry Bennett and Grant Goodwin are just one guy that does two different voices. Sorry to ruin the illusion for y'all. Listen for the change this week. Usually happens when Coach X says something to Terry and his voice gets all high-pitched, and then he has to compensate and go deeper. That is the switch to Grant. It's a hell of an act if you ever have a chance to see it live. Anyway, Holiday's going to whoop Henrietta on their way to the regional title. Oh, and that's another TD for Brock. All right, Coach X.
Conspiracy theory.
But
all right.
I got to give credit. Coach X, like, 3A stuff. Very good.
I think his conspiracy theory with you and I being the same person is about on the same lines as QAnon being in Dallas today.
Oh, did you hear about that one?
For Trump and JFK. JFK was coming back to life, or he wasn't ever dead, and they're going to run a ticket or something.
No, that was his son. JFK Jr. was coming back to Dallas for the first
time.
Maybe
he was, but he died on a plane crash, right?
Anyway, yeah, so.
And I would have taken his life. Like, I would have lived his life and just gone down with the plane.
Wow.
That dude was in New York.
I'd rather be doing talking Texas small-time football.
Me too. Me too. Never mind.
See, we talk together at the same time to throw people off right there.
They are the same person.
They don't understand what really has happened is the voice changer has messed up. That's what's been confusing us tonight.
Okay, yes, you're correct.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. Again, we want to thank our sponsors, L4FR Clothing, Fat Cow Jerky. Oh, and also in the break, you hear Zanigo. We'll be talking about Zanigo disinfectant sprayers coming up in the playoffs. They're going to be huge playoff sponsors. And that's going to do it for this week. Until next week, in the playoffs, he's Grant, I'm Terry. This has been Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing, right here on
the LSG. All the leaves have turned rust. The air's getting thin. I can see my breath. The night is rolling in. The sky's gray. It's cold as a stone. It's just the kind of day I can't stand it.